Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. We are thrilled to bring you today's guests, Jeremiah Prophet and Ryan Garst from the duo band Prophet and Garst. Their professional quality and laid-back positive assertiveness has given them the opportunity to provide solid jams all over the country, even overseas. They provide their talents and services for your live shows, weddings, parties, genre performance, church worship, live sound, karaoke, DJ service, and more. They can even write songs for specific needs, such as weddings and funerals. While they enjoy playing American folk and blues, they are equipped to cater to the majority of your musical needs. Keeping things smooth and simple, they have found, has led to the best outcome. You can count on them to bring the vibe you're hoping for, and they can't wait to rock out for you. Until then, we're excited to have them both on today's podcast. Welcome, Ryan and Jeremiah.
Hey there.
How you doing, Dawn?
I'm doing good. I'm doing even better that the both of you are here today. This is an exciting time. I got to meet both of you at the Squash Fest last year in Mount Sydney. That's when we first met. And I think your story is so super interesting. And I'd like to just begin with, how did the two of you find each other to make this duo band?
Well, that's a very interesting story because I think, Ryan, we first met at JM's, right? Would that be right?
Yeah. Where at JM's? Where was that? Where did you say you met?
My band, the Jeremiah Prophet Band, was playing a birthday party event at JM's apartment complex in Harrison.
Okay.
And Ryan showed up with his brother, and that's the first time we met, because Ryan and I have a bit of an age gap between us, about a decade.
Okay.
And so Ryan was just a little kid coming to this band that his brother knew. And I guess you can take it from there, can't you, Ryan?
Yeah. And so me and Jeremiah met, and then we reconvened at the Gold Crown Billiards. And I remember we just got up on stage one night and just kind of improv a little music. And from that point on, it was, if we were in the same room, we were playing music together.
Wow. It's just a natural connection right from the jump. That's great. Oh, that's so nice. So how long have you guys been playing together now as a band?
3 years. Does that sound about right, Ryan?
Maybe more closer to about 2 years, I'd say.
Okay. Somewhere in there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, I went down to Tennessee to audition for The Voice.
Oh, I did not know that. How was Ryan, that?
It was fun. It was an experience.
Yeah.
Ryan was in Tennessee at the time. Okay. So I got in touch with Ryan, and he said, well, come on over to the apartment before you head back to Virginia. And I did, and we sat down and wrote a couple songs, and it just seemed like we vibed pretty good together. So the plan was, at that time, I was going to come back to Virginia and move down to Tennessee with Ryan. Mm. Now, in my waiting to move down to Tennessee with Ryan, Ryan met a wonderful woman and moved to Virginia.
Okay.
So, and the COVID had hit, so it shut down Nashville. You drive down Broadway at midnight, and there's not a person on the street.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So
there wasn't anything to do.
And that monkey wrench, I'm sure all the listeners are aware of, the COVID monkey wrench.
Yes, yes. It changed all of our lives there.
And that worked out great now, because Ryan actually has a baby now, which he's a new father, and that's a lot to.
Oh, my gosh. Congratulations, Ryan.
Thank you, Dawn. And it's a lot of inspiration with a new child, of course. And I'm getting to play music every day for him now. And he's loving the music. His favorite band is the Beatles.
The Beatles. How old is this young man?
4 months.
4 months. And you can already tell that he loves the Beatles. How can you tell? How does he respond? How do you know that?
I put different bands on for him.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's definitely liking more of the pop and the pop rock. So he likes Michael Jackson. He loves Bruno Mars, the Beatles, just things with bright, bright energy and a lot of harmonies.
Is he nodding his head or, you know?
Oh, yeah. He's trying to sing along. I mean, he can't sing yet, but he's making sounds and
oh god,
with his lips and everything else. When he loves it, for sure.
What's his name? What's your name?
Elias Marshall.
Elias Marshall. Wow. What's the experience like being a new dad? Is there anything that surprised you?
I'm 34 years old.
Okay.
And I feel like if I would have been 24, it would have been much more surprising. But, you know, it kind of feels right. Well, definitely feels right, but feels natural, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations. That's really great. Well, it sounds like you're welcome. It sounds like your son already kind of knows he likes music, which brings me to how I wanted to ask both of you, did you start in music young or when did each of you figure out I'm a musician? You want to go first, Jeremiah?
I remember picking up the guitar at my grandfather's house and trying to play it. And it was a wonderful, horrible noise for my parents. I started, you know, playing recorder in the third grade. And I was always writing. As a very young child, I started writing stories about Superman and Batman, which later turned into poetry, which turned into songs. I picked up the guitar at 14 years old, and the first thing that I ever did with it was write a song. And it's been that path ever since then. But I started with recorder, and then I graduated to saxophone, which I sold to go on spring break. So the only thing I had left was my guitar. And that's what I did. I wrote poems and songs and just took off with my guitar and started traveling and playing. Haven't stopped since then.
No. Do you remember how much you sold the saxophone for and where were you going on spring break? You remember?
I sold it for $250.
Okay.
And which was horribly cheap, horribly cheap. And we went to Myrtle Beach. Car full of guys rode down to Myrtle Beach and had a good time.
Was it worth it selling the saxophone, do you think?
No. If I had to do it over again, I would have just gotten a job and made $250. But I miss that saxophone every day.
Okay. How about you, Ryan? When did you know you were a musician?
I started playing early. I got a guitar when I was 11 for Christmas. And I'd say by the time I was 13, I was already wanting to be on a stage playing.
Wow. And it's just been that way ever since.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like in the bio was clever, but it says, you know, me and Jeremiah play weddings and funerals and this and that. Jeremiah can attest to this too. We both started in church as well. So we played, you know, I played for my church from the time I was like 12 to maybe 18, 19, something like that. But it's once you know music is part of your life, you just follow the song. You just listen. You know, it's where's the next performance. You don't have to put a lot of thought into it. The next idea, it happens naturally. And so, yeah, from school band to church band to, you know, playing for this event or that event. It's like once you're in that circle or you're in that vibe, it's there for life.
I love that.
You're hitting on something there. A lot of people don't get or talk about too much that being a musician, it really isn't so much of a choice as it is just who we are. And we just have to roll with it. I mean, we pick up the guitar, we play, we write when the song hits us, we jam when we're in the moment and we're jamming. It's not really a choice. It's just who we are.
Who you are in a way of life, it sounds like.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Oh, I love that. I love your band. And something unique and different about it is, Jeremiah, you play the harmonica in a lot of your shows. When did you learn how to play that instrument?
My grandfather is one of the most best harmonica players I've ever heard in my life.
Really?
And when I was growing up, he could take his harmonica and play Patsy Cline, Woody Guthrie, listen to a song on the radio and play every single note and rhythm to it. It was just absolutely incredible.
Wow.
He passed when he was 82 years old, which would have made me right around 19 or 20. And I always got his harmonicas.
Really? And passed them on?
Yes. And so one day I was hanging out with Bill Howard and he threw me one of his old harmonicas. And I said, well, I have a bunch of these back in my bedroom that my grandfather gave me. And from that moment forward, I started putting a harmonica onto a harness and using it with my songs. And I always remember my grandfather every time I play the harmonica, because every single note I play out of the harmonica came from him first. It was passed down in a very unique way.
That is so super special. So we need to know his name. What is your grandfather's name?
His name was Ernest Munger, and they called him Chick Munger.
Chick Munger.
he actually played on the one of the first radio shows of music in the Shenandoah Valley with a bunch of guys.
What?
Of course, he was the harmonica player.
That is so super cool. What a rich history we have here. This podcast interview is full of gems, and we're just getting started, people. I'm excited. Ryan, something about you that I think is interesting, you mentioned it just a little bit ago, that you spent some time in Tennessee with your music. What were you doing there? Tell us more about your Tennessee experience.
Yeah, so here about, what was it, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I moved down there to play with a fella named Will Thomas Reed. And he's like a crossover artist. He plays country rock, a little more on the rock side. And spent some time down there writing with him. I had a writing project with Will. And then it was about 2 months, 3 months living in Tennessee, I met my now buddy, Alex King. And he's a little more on the hip hop side. And so we did some writing in the studio. I also worked with Jenny Teeter. She's a blues, up and coming blues rock artist, a phenomenal voice. So those were probably my three main projects that I worked with. But I'm like a freelance artist, you know. Like, yeah. I said, if there's a cool project going on, another song to write, if there's a show to play, you know, and it makes sense, I'm going to be a part of it.
Wow, you got a wide variety of musical experience while you were there, even though it wasn't that long of a time. You're able to bring that back here to the Valley. I think that's pretty special for sure.
Yeah. And I still stay in contact with Will. You know, we've talked about perhaps writing this summer, doing a little work. And then Alex, I'm going to be visiting him within the next few months, going down there to check out a new studio project they got going on. So a lot of groovy stuff happening still.
A lot of groove. Yeah, that's the other thing I love about you musicians is your lingo. I don't go around saying groovy a lot, but maybe I will now because I know
you should. Guys.
I should. Yes, that's right. I should. I also see that you do genre performance, but I don't know what that means. Can you talk to me or the listeners?
Jeremiah is actually an Elvis impersonator on the side.
For real? Is that for real, Jeremiah?
Well, not really.
Because if it's for real, we want to hear it right now.
I think you just got the best of my Elvis impersonation right there.
That's an inside joke, I take it, between the two of you.
Well, our genre performance basically means whatever kind of music you need for the event you're having, we can make it happen. A couple of years ago up on Skyline Drive, I played music up there a lot, and they needed a bunch of Frank Sinatra and 30s and 40s music. So I was their featured performer that year for performing 30s and 40s music. So I got to sing Frank Sinatra. I got to do a lot of Dean Martin and stuff from around that time period. So if you want just a Lynyrd Skynyrd night, we can pull that off. If you want heavy metal, that off. If you want hip hop, we could even pull that off. Whatever genre fit your need, we can make happen.
That's great. Yes, Laughers, they both have, we're on a Zoom call right now, and they both have their guitars with them. So if you hear any cutout, that's part of it. But also, if you hear a guitar, you're not like... you know, it's really happening. They have the guitars and it's really cool. I love this. Maybe they'll play something for us here in a little bit. Before they do that, have you guys played? You said you played overseas. Where did you play and what was that experience like?
That's all Ryan. He can.
Yeah. So 4 years ago, I was with a duo called Stars and Sirens. Well, it's been 5 years now. And we went over there to meet a few people in the music industry and as we did it, we played some cafes and got to play some open mics. And the funnest part about it, or the coolest part about it, was you can meet people that don't even speak your language, but you still share music. And up to that point in my life, I hadn't experienced that. So like when I was in Paris, you know, you find an open mic or you find somewhere with music going. But, you know, it's the, just as me and Jeremiah could sit on stage with a couple musicians, the drummer starts to beat and, you know, you get in. It's music is music, and it's worldwide, and it's the same. It's people follow the same inspiration. You see the same glow on people's faces when they're playing. You see the same happiness about it. So for me, that it was like, it was a monumental experience because I realized how big music was and what I was actually a part of.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's a universal language we can all enjoy. That's very well said. How did that feel for you?
It was cool. I'd love to go back sometime, honestly. Yeah. Yeah. The vibes are great in Europe. I mean, I just feel like people are slightly happier.
Slightly happier. Well, maybe yeah. Prophet and Garce can take it international. You know, what do you think about that, guys?
I love that. I'm ready to roll.
Let's do it. You guys are writers. You write a lot of songs. You write for weddings and funerals too. What goes into that process, and how do you work with people to create those songs?
You want to go, Jeremiah?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, writing for me happens so spontaneously. When I feel like I need to write a song or write a poem or even the book I'm writing, I have moments where I sit down and I just put pen to paper and it just flows out. And there's not much controlling it once it starts to happen. The biggest thing I find that hinders my writing is not listening to that calling to sit down and actually put it on paper. And when I do that, the melody happens, the chord structure happens. Sometimes it changes, like if I run it by Ryan, and he suggests I use a different chord or maybe change this word here or there, then we start working on something together. But the majority of my writing happens very instantaneously and very spontaneous. So if I don't listen to that urge to sit down and start writing, I'll miss the whole song and it'll never get written. It's a very odd thing.
Hmm. That's a good process. How about you, Ryan? How's it work for you?
I feel like my process is similar in some ways where I do write music myself. Like I write some solo stuff, but the majority of what I write will be with other people. So when I'm in a writing session, I feel like that is one of my better traits, not to brag on myself, but like one of the better things I got going is that I'll sit in a room with various musicians and various genres. And I kind of go with that co-writer angle, you know. I'll throw a suggestion out there, and if it ain't what it needs, then it ain't what it needs. But I really enjoy the co-write.
Yeah, and when you work with people on weddings and funerals, do you learn a little bit about them? Do you have like a questionnaire? How does it work when somebody says, "Hey, can you write a song for my wedding?" What would that look like?
I like to sit down with the people who are getting married or the people we're doing the service for, and just have them tell me their story. Tell us your story. Tell us everything about the in-betweens. And then just take that, meditate on it, think about it, and then write the song according to what they said. There's always a melody in everything. And that's what I love about even this conversation or having any conversation with anybody. There's always a melody to the conversation, a driving force. And if we listen close enough, if we put ourselves into it enough, we pick up on the harmonies to it as well. And we see what is our harmony? Where is our place? What is the melody of their story? What really sticks out? What is the chorus to their story? And you would be surprised to see the look on people's faces when we are able to see something in their lives, in their relationship, that they have somehow missed. And when it becomes the chorus to their story, it opens up a whole brand new love for them to share together. It's just an amazing, amazing experience. And I love to pass it on to people.
I just got goosebumps right there because that just sounds so beautiful. I feel like everybody should hire you guys to write their wedding songs right now. That's really cool. Now, Jeremiah, you mentioned that you're writing a book. Did I hear that correctly? Are you writing a book right now?
That is right. It's called From Jeremy to Jeremiah, and it's a sort of like an autobiography. I take it from a third person perspective, and then I'm going to bring it into first person along the way. So the day I am actually born, and then I gain my awareness to being alive, is when I'll turn it into a first person narrative.
Wow.
So I'm about a chapter or two into it. I'm still working on it.
Okay. Well, when you get it done, you need to let me know so that I can read it.
Is that a deal? That's definitely a deal.
Okay, cool.
You can even like get people to buy the first million copies. That'd be great.
That's right. You guys, I want to talk a little bit about this. You guys play a lot of American folk and blues. I'd like to ask each of you, who are your biggest musical influences from that genre? And I'd like to start with Ryan.
Yeah, I'd say from the blues, rock and roll, blues, Americana. Americana's a big umbrella. You know what I mean? It covers so much. But I'm really digging on Marcus King right now, where the blues rock's concerned. He's an incredible, incredible guitar player. Super cool band. For my like original influences, Jimi Hendrix, number one, always.
Nice. Jimi Hendrix. No, he's boss.
He's the man on many levels, but he's the man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Jeremiah?
The first thing that comes to mind is John Prine, because I grew up listening to my parents play John Prine all the time. And so that's a big influence with me. Neil Young is probably my biggest rocker influence. Love his writing. Love his guitar play. Just pretty amazing. And, you know, really, my biggest influences in music these days is a local performer named Joel Delgado. Ryan is a big, big influence on me with the way he plays lead guitar and the way he can write and help write a song. The way he dips in with his little bits of information just really blows my mind sometimes. And my first cousin, Reverend Bill Howard of the Judy Chops, to see his progression as a musician and what he's doing now, being theatrical in his music and bringing that to the stage, really impresses me. So I'm open to a lot of those influences and in what I'm trying to do with myself today. Basically, these guys around me.
Yeah, I like that a lot. We have a lot of talent here in the Valley, which is pretty amazing. I saw you guys perform on the Virginia Dream Show, and that's a television show with local talent performing on center stage, broadcasted on WHSV, TV3, and Facebook, but also on YouTube, right? Yeah? Because that's where I saw you, and I saw this song and watched it, and you said it's an original song of yours. It's called Rebel On. I want to know, I think the Laughers would love to know, what is the story behind that song and how long did it take you to write it?
That song was written when I was 15 years old.
Really?
And it took about 3 minutes to write.
What?
The whole thing behind that song is there was a band singing Hmm-bop, that song.
What? I'm sorry, they were singing what?
Hmm-bop. Who did that song, Ryan?
Hanson.
Yeah, Hanson. And I couldn't stand
the Hanson brothers.
What kind of writing is this? Like, writing music needs to be about some, like, kick butt rock and roll. And I just sat down, and just like I explained earlier, I wrote this song, Rebel On. It's every verse in that song is part of my life experience, even the part when I make fun of Hanson, who I do not have a problem with these days. I respect him highly. But as like a 15-year-old kid, I was a 15-year-old kid.
Your teenage self had a different opinion.
That is right. And as a 15-year-old with a guitar, I mean, Rebel On is everything.
That's true.
You
That's true. I love that. See, I knew there was going to be a cool answer behind that question. I want to ask too, what do you guys do a lot, you know, in terms of what you play and services you provide? What do you enjoy most about what you do? Ryan, I'd love to start with you.
Improv full band.
Improv full band.
Yeah. That's probably my favorite part of it. I mean, playing with no boundaries, having fun with it. That's my favorite part. And then songwriting would be a close second. Writing with co-writing and such.
Okay. And you, Jeremiah?
Yeah, I just have to go with back up what Ryan said about playing music with no boundaries. Just being all feeling and getting in the jam and in the zone and just riding with it. There's nothing like it. And when you play out and live in front of people and you see the look on people's faces of just happiness and just enjoyment, or even if the song touched them and they get chills and they're tearing up, to see, to be able to pass that through me to somebody else is the biggest gift I've ever received for anything. It is so special.
Yes, living presently. That's a theme. That's with the musicians. And comedy does that too, is bringing people into the moment and living presently, which is incredible self-care. Yeah, that's exciting. I love that. That being moved by music is very touching and what's the word I'm looking for? Special is not, it doesn't really quite cover it. It's not, you know what I'm saying? It's soul touching. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Even when saying that, and even with what you do with your comedy, I mean, I've seen you perform. It was awesome when we did that event together. But there isn't really a word to put to it, how deep it goes into moving somebody.
Mm-hmm. A bit indescribable, as you can tell. We're trying to search for the word. Soul touching, I think, comes as close as we can. Laughers, if you come up with something else, let us know. did you guys, you both have your guitar. This is impromptu. Did you want to take a few moments to share your music with people or?
Yeah, I'm all about it.
Okay.
Do something improv, Ryan?
Yeah, you want to take the next few minutes to do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Just tell me what capo, Jeremiah.
Might be a while, yeah.
looking for.
That's awesome. And you guys, that's on a Zoom call, not in a studio. So when you hear it live or from a studio, it's going to be off the chain.
That's the first time Ryan have jammed via the internet today.
Hey, we've wrote songs while talking now on the phone. We're like, wait, let's just do it now. Like, we'll be, hey, you want to plan a songwriting session for next week? Or, hey, instead of practice, we'll do songwriting. And then 5 minutes later on the phone call, we're writing a tune out. It's funny.
And you just did that. Just did that right now. That is so... That's a first for the Virginia's for Laughers podcast.
Well, hopefully it won't be the last.
Exactly. That's right. I'm saying that. I'm going to second this motion. I have another question for you. You do covers, you do original songs. How do you balance how much of original songs and covers you play at live shows? Is it like a 50-50 or what does that look like?
Well, I'll tell you, when I had my band, the Jeremiah Prophet Band, we were an original band. We didn't do anything but originals. And it was just the time and place for that kind of band. A lot of people want to hear cover songs nowadays. And the way I play a cover song is to put a personal touch to it. Ryan does that really well. He, with his lead guitar, he puts in a personal touch every single time he plays a song. So it really works well with the way I try to do a cover song. And when we're doing a live show, Ryan and I just bounce back between each other and the crowd and figure out what we're going to play next. Every set list we've ever had turns out to not be our set list because we're playing in the moment. We're just jamming with the crowd as we go. We've learned songs during a show because it was requested by somebody out there in the crowd.
Really?
The best thing we can do is write a song list on and follow the crowd. Follow the vibes. If people are dancing, keep it moving. If people look like they're kind of relaxing, you know, keep it relaxed. But follow the vibes of the crowd.
Okay. That's really, I love that. It's kind of loosey-goosey. And you're going more and connecting with the crowd than you are like, this is our list. We're going to stick to it. And you make it very fluid, which is also very beautiful. I love that. Is that what all musicians kind of do? Or is that something unique to you? Or what can you, how can you speak on that a little bit more? Or can you speak on that a little bit more?
I would say
most bands write, I'm sorry, Jeremiah. Most bands would write set lists, I'd say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I would go as far as saying musicians like us jam like us. We just play music and we get in the jam and we go.
So it's more of, this is what musicians do. They have like an idea when they go in and then they may change it up depending on the vibe of the crowd. Is typical. No or yes?
The improv thing's a little different. I mean, okay. I think of bands like the Allman Brothers, and they had that super element of improv.
Yeah.
Then I think of a band, like, just trying to think of a more modern band. If you went and seen, I listen to classic rock, so it's hard for me to think new music right now. But if you went to see, like, the Black Keys, I feel like you'd probably hear their set list from top to bottom, you know?
Right.
But I could be wrong, but I have not had the pleasure to jam with many musicians that kind of are so freestyling about it. Jeremiah's an awesome example of how you can have a set of songs and then you got to take 5 songs off the list because a jam happened and or some musicians came on stage or something steered you away from the set list.
Okay. Right. That's what unique about you as a more of an improv band. Jam session. Yeah. Cool. I love that. That's exciting. Well, it feels that way. It feels very free-flowing when you listen to your music when you're an audience member. It feels that way to me, so I can totally see that. I like that about you guys. I like that a lot. When you play a lot together like you do, How much rehearsal do you do? Is it necessary to rehearse? What is your, how do you guys approach rehearsal for you?
Ryan and I have been a lot. we want to rehearse more, and that seems to be an ongoing theme for our band.
You want to rehearse more?
Yeah. For a while, we rehearsed every week, and that lasted about a month and a half, maybe, Ryan?
Yeah, probably something like that.
Yeah.
But I'd say we definitely rehearse before the gig. So if we had a gig this Friday, we'd be meeting up tomorrow or the next day to run over songs, maybe add a couple to a set list. But rehearsal, I really do value rehearsal, and I'll agree with Jeremiah. I'd always like to rehearse more. When I play sometimes and I haven't rehearsed for a few weeks, I hear it in my own playing, and I feel ashamed. I feel ashamed.
Aw.
Head down.
Head down. That's right. He's on a Zoom call, and he actually did put his head down.
And yet some of our best jams we've ever had is when we haven't played for a couple of weeks, and we get together, and it's just like, whoa, what happened? You know, it's just like it's stored up or something.
Yeah, it comes natural.
Like driving an old sports car.
Driving an old sports car.
Yeah.
Have you driven an old sports car?
A few of them.
Oh, what's your favorite old sports car you've driven?
Trans Am. I'm a big fan of the classic Pontiac Trans Ams.
Okay. Was it your car or someone else's?
I've owned a few of them.
Owned a few of them. Okay.
I feel like
a
lot of fast. All right. If you play music and you like fast riffs, you're going to like fast cars. Think Eddie Van Halen.
That's true, right?
They go hand in hand. There's something about going fast and hearing fast and seeing fast that's just like the ultimate adrenaline rush.
So that's definitely one of your interests. That's one of my next questions was, what are your interests outside music? We answered that. Definitely you like these old sports cars. What else do you like? What other interests do you have, Ryan, outside music?
I love farming and gardening. That's part of my loves in life.
Do you have a farm outside your home? Or you?
I got a garden in the backyard, and I got some pumpkins that are about 4 foot around right now in the front yard. The leaves are already like bigger than a tree.
What else? Ryan's good at that too.
He's really good at that.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Yeah, what's in your garden right now? You got pumpkins. What else do you have?
I've got green beans, lima beans, chili peppers, habanero peppers, bell peppers, sweet corn. Did I say tomatoes?
No.
Nope.
I'm looking forward to July 1st. Wink, wink, wink.
Wink, wink, wink. July 1st, you mean July 9th? Wink, wink, wink.
July 9th, okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. How about you, Jeremiah? What are your interests out of outside music?
There's not much outside of music. Of course, I love writing.
Yeah.
I love theater. Right now, I'm rehearsing for Capulet and Romeo and Juliet at EMU. That'll be in October. And they've written it to the music of the band U2.
Really?
So, yeah, it's going to be really cool.
And what's your role in that? What's your role in that play?
Lord Capulet.
Oh, you did say that. Sorry. Okay. And how's
that
going?
So that'd be neat.
Yeah.
It's going great. These two guys who wrote it, who work out at EMU, are pretty exceptional at what they do. And one of my bandmates from another band, Shannon Dove, he's doing a part in the play, and he's the set designer and works out at EMU. So it's going to be a pretty neat thing to watch.
Yeah.
But anything with theater, anything with art, I love roller coasters. So you can always catch me at Busch Gardens, especially around Halloween time. Love it. Ryan's dead on the money when it's fast and it's furious. And if it involves guitars and rock and roll, you'll find me there.
Okay. What's your favorite roller coaster, since you're into roller coasters then? What's your favorite one?
Well, the Big Bad Wolf was my favorite one. But see, they took that away. So now I'm going to have to go with the old standard Loch Ness Monster.
Okay.
That is a good one.
I like roller coasters too. I've always been a fan since I was a kid. I'm all about it. I love it. My son.
So y'all are down for a trip to Busch Gardens, huh?
Yes.
We gotta do it.
We'll do it.
And if you go during Halloween, they have like a Halloween theme.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's incredible.
I'll have to let my son know about that. He likes roller coasters too, except sometimes, well, lots of times they can be too big for the roller coasters. But the Halloween is a good tip. His wife loves Halloween and he can't fit on some of them. So we should just all go and have a great time. And everybody say amen.
Definite amen to that.
Amen to that. Yeah.
You know, history is a big thing for me too. And that's why being at Busch Gardens is so awesome, because you're there at Jamestown, you're in historic Williamsburg. So much of our story can be found in the right places around there. Love anything to do with history.
Have you written any songs about that yet? About history in Virginia, since you mentioned it? Or have you thought about it?
I have thought about it.
Okay.
I did write a song about the town of Elkton.
You did?
Where I grew up as a young child and living now. And hopefully we can turn it into the Elkton Town Song.
What? So, last time I saw you perform was at Elkton Brewery. Did you play it at Elkton Brewery, your Elkton song?
I did not.
Okay. So I'll have to come out and see you again so I can hear that song.
That is right.
Maybe
One Tribe.
That's right. Maybe at One Tribe. That's right. We're going to talk about that here in a second. But before we do, how best, as we wrap up here, how best can people follow you on social media and connect with you?
I've got my own personal Instagram at Ryan Garst Music. Me and Jeremiah have a group page. It's profitandgarst.com. We're going through a few errors on the website right now. There may or may not be an and sign between the profit and Garst.
Growing pains. It's all good.
yeah. But, you know, it sound very vain to tell people, go check us out at profitgarst.com.
You'll fix it. And I'll put that
on. We're getting there.
You're getting there.
Me and Jeremiah are about the music. I mean, you got to pull our arms and legs and everything else to get us on social media. My personal belief is that social media is definitely the devil, and it's the devil, and it's the devil.
I just deleted my Facebook. So,
did you really?
Yes, I did. So.
Okay, so can't find you there. Okay.
According to Ryan, I got on, what is it, Ryan? Instagram? That's what you made me get.
Yeah, I kept telling Jeremiah, hey, bro, you got to get an Instagram. I know that I tell you I hate social media, but it's the best way to just put your music up there, little blurbs. And Jeremiah's got like a picture of his cat on his Instagram or something. And a picture of him in his classic bandana photo. And he's got like 7 times more followers than I got already. So like I kept telling Jeremiah, get an Instagram. He's like, yeah, maybe I should. But he had set one up years ago, never touched it. And he's got like 7 times more fame than I got. He's famous. I'm not.
Infamous, man.
That's what it is. Well, what's your Instagram handle? We need to know that now, Jeremiah. What is it? Or do you know?
I don't even know. I mean, this is why I've been telling Ryan, we need to get like a manager or something, you know, an agent to do all this stuff for us, because we can get together and write songs just fine. It's everything else on the side that takes a minute.
I just heard, I think probably my first laugh snort on the podcast is cracking me up. It's like Jeremiah's looking for his phone to figure out what his Instagram handle is.
That's right.
We'll give him a minute to look it up, but I'll look it up and make sure we put that in the show notes for you. So let's see if he figures it out. While he does, laughers, you can also catch Jeremiah and Ryan, Prophet and Garst Band, live this summer at the Outdoor Summer Fun Series at One Tribe Farm in Mount Sydney, where you can also enjoy fresh off the farm food prepared by Chef Jordan and an X2 comedy show. We will be sure to put all that info in the show notes, along with their contact information, including which months they'll be performing at One Tribe Farm with the ticket links. And did you find your Insta there?
It is JPRPHTT22.
And there it is. You've heard it there. Again, we'll put that in the show notes. And thank you so much, Jeremiah and Ryan. This was super fun. I loved our time together and learning more about you, too.
It's always good.
Rock and roll, Dawn. Thanks for having us, for sure.
Yes, I loved it, loved it, loved it. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Later on.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.